Everybody, we're going to get started. Just a few announcements again. Homework one was graded, and you can find your grade on Sakai. Just where you submitted the homework, that's where you will find your grade. Some people have submitted their homeworks, but the TA wasn't able to open the files. So if you have submitted your homework and you have a zero, please go to Moody's office hours. He graded that homework. You can find his office hours on Sakai, on the website. I'm going to show you, actually. Where they are. So if you go on the website, his office hours are right here. His office is in Hill 206. And his office hours are Wednesdays and Thursdays. Wednesday morning and Thursday afternoon. So if you have any problems, he can open, and usually the TAs will be able to open doc files, any kind of Microsoft. PDFs work. If you have a Mac, it's better to convert it to PDF and then upload a PDF. But, you know, if you submit something, it's not going to be a problem. You know, you're going to have to go back and forth with a TA a little bit. You're definitely going to get a grade. There's not going to be any penalty there's problems with your files. But if you don't want to be stressed out about it, it's best to do doc files, docx files, PDFs. Those are pretty safe. And I will upload homework 2. I said homework 1. Homework 2 will be up on the website either tonight or tomorrow. And it will be due, you have 2 weeks from today to do it. It's going to be due on October 4th. And I'll set up an announcement on Sakai. I don't know if you noticed, there's a schedule on Sakai. You can see, you know, when homeworks are due. I'm going to put the midterm there. So, you know, if you have any doubts or anything, just go on the schedule on Sakai. I got questions. I sent out a syllabus a while ago, and there's, you know, I said that homework two was going to be out on the 15th, and it wasn't. Those dates are tentative. So, you know, I usually adapt. You know, we learn enough to have a homework now, so I'm going to put up a homework. Okay, so don't worry about this. Don't look at the syllabus. Just, you know, listen to what I'm doing in class. Go on Sakai. There's going to be announcements, emails. I try to keep everybody updated. Email is the main. You know, lectures are the main way, but then there's emails, so. Okay, and you can find this homework 2, you'll be able to find it on Sakai again. It's going to be assignment 2. And, very important, next class, don't come here. We're going to meet in ARC in the computer lab. We're going to do Scratch next time. So, don't come here, come to ARC, room 118. And I will send out an email to let you know about that, too.
Okay.
That is on Wednesday. The lecture that's coming up. Okay. There's a lot of you guys. There's about 50 computers that they told me that they can have. So maybe you can pair up. But we're gonna do Scratch next time in the computer lab. Okay. Any questions? All right. Let's do some Glickr questions. Make sure your light is green. Again. So, well, let's start with this one. This is a relay that we learned last time. This is just to tell you to set up your sub-frequency to dB. So, what happens in this circuit if A is true and B is false? What will C be? So you have two situations. One is when A is true and B is false. One is if A is false and B is false. What are the values of C going to be? So the first, you see there's two values. The first one will be for the first case. The second one will be for the second case. Figure out what the values are in each case, and then you can choose one of the options. Okay? Any questions? It's a little confusing, I must admit. Yeah?
So no light, C is false.
Yes. Imagine a light bulb. If the light would be a light bulb connected to C. If the light will go, would be on, that means C is true. If the light will be off, C is false. Yeah.
True is
when it's true is, well, yeah, that's something that you should know, but. I'll stop at 2. Five more seconds. Stopping. Okay, great. Right answer was majority votes for the right answer. Okay, great. Now, I was anticipating that this would not go so well, so I was going to let you guys talk amongst yourselves to figure it out, but you guys don't need that, apparently. So let's do this one. What about the same circuit? Sorry. Same circuit for A is true and B is true. What will C be? And A is true and B false. Anybody more time? No? Stopping? Okay, this did not go so well. That's so interesting. Okay. Alright, I'll just do it on the board and then everybody can know if they got it or not. This is very, very strange. All right. So let's make a little table. Let's hide this thing. Okay, so I'm going to make a table. A, B, C. And all the possible combinations of values for A and B are false. They're both false. A is false, B is true. A is true, B is false. Let's see what happens in each case. So, if A is false and B is false, I'm going to draw it here. flowing from here. This is not acting like a magnet. This is acting like a wire, and this thing is closed. The problem is B is also open, so there's no way electricity can reach C. So what is C going to be? False. Now, what happens if we close B? This is the second case. This is A equals false, B equals true. B equals true means that this switch is closed. Again, there's no electricity flowing through the coil. It's just a wire. The switch is closed. So C, what C would be?
True.
Good. All right, now we open B. And we close A. What was the switch going to be? Open or close?
Open.
Right? Because now we have electricity flowing. This is a magnet. Attracts this switch. It opens it. And then electricity cannot reach. It wouldn't be able to reach anyway, but electricity cannot reach C. So C is going to be false. Okay? What if they're both true? Okay, this switch is going to be closed or open? Open. And so what is he going to be?
False.
Okay. Yeah, any questions? No?
Okay. Let's do this one. What happens when A is true and B is false? What is C going to be? And the options are A true and B false. Stop at 10 after 1. Okay, stopping. That was from the previous one. What did I... No, this is good. This is it. Okay, so the right answer got the majority answer again. This is better. But it's still not perfect. So let's see.
What's happening in this case? We have our battery. And this time, the two switches are connected in parallel. So I'm going to do... And we wanted A to be true and B to be false. So A is going to be closed and B is going to be open. And their connection is in series with the coil of the relay. And I think there's another branch here. We don't know about the switch yet. Any questions? Okay, so this is kind of a summary of, and we've seen this slide yesterday, the last time. This is kind of a summary of how this, the relay works. And we said that we can just use electricity this time to control switches, not just switches to control electricity. And so, you know, by this time this should make sense to all of you. So in that case, if A kind of controls if there's electricity or not through the coil, so it basically controls if the coil acts like a magnet or not. And that makes, because the light is connected to the electricity through the switch inside the relay, that's going to dictate if the light is on or off. All right? Okay, and last time we finished by talking about bits and how everything in a computer is basically, you can reduce it to bits. And we talked about kind of the what we use to measure, what the units of measurement are. And this is a pretty important slide. There's going to be questions on the homework and on the exam. So you should all know that 1 byte is 8 bits. And usually information in the computer is stored in groups of 8 bits, which are all bytes. And kilo just means 1,000, mega just means 1,000,000, and giga just means 1,000,000,000. Okay? So you can have megabytes, which are 1,000,000 bytes, and you can have megabits, which are 1,000,000 bits. Right? How many megabits would a megabyte be?
Eight.
Okay. Somebody's awake? Great. All right. So let's do this one. You have a picture. The picture is 1050 by 1050 pixels, and each pixel is 24 bits. How many megabytes do you need to store this picture? The options are A, 3.307 approximately, B, 26.46 approximately, C, 1.102, D, 1,102,500, and E, 26,460,000 megabytes. And the question is how many megabytes you need to store the picture. Stop at 3. Unless somebody wants more time. Anybody object to stopping?
No objections? Okay, stopping. Okay. Yeah, this is something that I don't like to see, but let's work through it. Okay.
So, our picture is 1050 by 1050. So it's basically like a grid. And one side is pretty much a square. One side is 1050 pixels. One side is 1050. How many pixels are in this picture? Well, it's 1050 times 1050. About 1 million, right? Okay, about 1 million. Now, every single 1 million pixels, for every single pixel, we need 24 bits to store. So how many pixels is that going to be? How many bits is that going to be? So again, the small b 1 megabit per second is a small bit, it's not a big bit. It's a megabit, it's not a megabyte per second. So in 1 second I download 1 megabit, not 1 megabyte. So that helps. I'll stop at 3. Stopping in 5 seconds. Stopping. Okay, great. So majority answer is the right answer again. So let's go through it, because there's some people who are unsure about it. Well, we think that the answer is something else. So now, my picture is 3.3 megabytes. But my downloading speed is in megabits. So we need to turn everything either into megabits or into megabytes to figure out how much time we need. So how, let's turn everything into megabits, into the smaller unit. 3.3 megabytes, how many bits is that? Okay, right. So 3.3 megabytes, if 1 byte is 8 bits, number of bits will be 3.3 times 8, because bits are smaller than bytes. That gives us about 26 million, a little more than 26 million bits. Okay? Now, my downloading speed, I can download 1 megabit in 1 second. So how many seconds will it take me to download 26 megabits? It's all 27 is the closest, right? Okay, any questions?
No? Okay, so we're done with those for now. So again, we have, last time in the previous lectures, we have looked at starting from scratch with bits and switches, and then we learned how to make an AND gate, an OR gate, and a NOT gate. And now we can start building up on top of that. Remember we said that, you know, it's all about reduction. It's all about starting from small things and building up so that when we have a complex problem, we can break it down and know how to solve simple problems. And we will know how to solve simple problems if we really know the basics, right? So now that we lay the foundation of that, we can start building more complicated things. Like, for example, what if we wanted a gate that has 3 inputs, 3 bits, and it's gonna do something like Y, the output will be A and B and C, right? What if we want to AND 3 things together? So how would we do that, knowing that AND can only take, the AND gate that we built can only take 2 inputs, right? Because we had a table for AND, remember, had AND A and B. If you can't do A and B and C, we have to break it down into something that we already know. So how would we do this with just with AND gates? What's how could we solve this problem? Go ahead. Yes, exactly. So we can break it down. We can say, okay, we're gonna do A and B first, and we're gonna call that X, for example. And then we know how to do that. We're just going to take the AND gate. We're going to give it A and B. Our output will be X. And then all we have to do is do X and C. And that's going to be our Y. right? Using only AND gates. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a little AND gate that we already know how to build. We're not going to worry about that anymore, we said. If we need to worry, we know where to go. We go to the lecture for, you know, slides or whatever. So now that we know how to do an AND, we're just going to use it. We're going to AND A and B, call that X, and then we're going to have another AND gate, which is going to AND the what's coming out of that AND gate, which will be A and B, with the C. And then the output Y will be A and B and C. So we can put a little gate around it and call it AND 3. And let's say we want to make a circuit or a robot that uses a lot of this kind of gate. We can just, if we know how to build one, we know how to build all of them. And so now we have the AND 3 gate. What if we wanted something that did take four inputs and does A or B or C or D? Well, we can do the same thing. We can group the operations together, two by two. So if we do A or B first, that's going to give us the output on the highest, so this OR gate, this output will be A or B, this output will be C or D, and then when we OR them together, that's going to give us A or B or C or D. And it doesn't matter how the parentheses work because these operations are kind of like plus, kind of like addition. So you can just put the parentheses wherever you want, and it's going to give you the same results. Okay, so now we know how to build more complicated gates. Let's make a very strange kind of gate. We're going to call it the if-then-else. And it's going to model, you know, hypothetical situations in life. So we're going to have something like this is how we're going to write it. If expression, then expression 1, else expression 2. And this is how this is translated. If the expression in the parentheses is true, then we're going to do expression 1. We're going to compute expression 1. Otherwise, we're going to compute, so if expression in the parentheses is false, we're going to compute expression 2. And so let's take an example. In real life, for example, if I am, let's say I want to grab a snack. If it's before 2:30, I can grab a snack. If it's not before, if it's after 2:30, I need to finish making slides, right? Because I need to be ready for class. And so the expression in the parentheses at any given time can be true or false. If, for example, it's a Monday and let's say it's 2 p.m., what is the expression in the parentheses going to be true or is it going to be false? It's going to be true because it's 2 p.m. is before 2:30 p.m. And so what's going to happen then? What am I going to do? I'll grab a snack. But if it's 2:45, the expression in the parentheses is going to be false, and so I will finish making the slides. So this is how this works, okay? This is the logic of this if-then-else expression. Now we're going to make this gate. And this gate is going to say, it's going to take one output, and it's going to take one input, and it's going to have one output. The input is A, the output is D, and this is how it's going to work. If A is true, then D will be true. Otherwise, else, D will be false. So let's see how we can make this. How can we make this gate? How can we wire it? How can we take stuff that we already know how to do and build this gate? And all we have to do is make this table and fill out this table. So because A is just, we only have one input, and it's a bit, it can only be true or false. So we can have all the possibilities in just a small little table. So what will, if A is false, what will D be? What's the value of D?
False,
right? Because we have, if A is true, A is not true. So then we're going to go on the else, and D will be false. And if A is true, we can see that D will be true. How can we build this gate? What's inside here? What do you think? It kind of looks like we just copied A, right? It's just A. D is equal to A. So we can just put a wire between A and D. And that's it. That's our gate. That's our if-then-else gate number one. Okay? So this is very simple. Whatever A is, that's what D will be. Let's make the second one. We have two inputs this time. We have A and B, two bits. And we're going to say the following. We have one output with D, which will be, if A is true, then D will copy B. And if else, if A is false, D will be false too. But let's try to fill out this table. What will be, what happens if A is false and B is false? What will D be? Okay, D will be false because if A is true, it's not, else B is false. Great, what about A false, B true?
False.
Same reason, right? We're going on the else branch and D is false. What happens when A is true and B is false? So if A is true, then D equals B and B is false. What about true, true?
True.
Because we're copying B again. Alright? So what is this gate actually? How can we make this gate? It's an AND gate, right? It looks exactly like an AND gate, and indeed it is. We can just put an AND gate inside this if then else gate, and that's all it contains. And that's how we can build this gate. So this is just, you know, maybe we have a problem. I'm creating problems right now, and I'm showing you guys how we can take what we've already learned and what we already know and solve these problems. Okay, so this in this case, D equals A and B. Let's take a third one. And we have the same two, we have two inputs, but this time it works the following way. If A is true, then D is false, else D will copy C. So let's try to fill out this table. How should I can make this a clicker question. All right, so clicker question. New clicker question. What is this gate going to be? What's inside? What's going to be inside this gate? And the options are A, an AND gate, B, an OR gate, C, none of the
maybe 20 more seconds. At 2:20. Okay, stopping.
majority answer is the right answer. Okay, let's do this.
Okay.
So, what is C if A is false and C is false? Yes, because if A is true, else B equals C, copying C, false. Right. What about A false, C true?
True,
because we're copying C again. What about A true, C false? False, because if A is true, then B is false. True, true? False. Okay, so, does this look like it has three falses. Let's make another little table. I'm going to do the table A, not A, and C and D. So the same, I'm just copying these. A false, C false, D false. A false, C true, 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 false, false, true, 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 false. Okay? And now what is not A? Well, I just have to go in whatever A is false, I'm going to have to write a true. Whatever A is true, I'm going to write false. So this is going to be true, true, false, false. Okay? And now, what if you ignore A? What do you notice about this table? What? What is B? Well, B is actually not A. And C, right? Because whenever, it's arranged a little weird, but whenever either of not A or C are false, B is going to be false. And if they're both true, B is true, and that's the only time when B is true. Okay, we're going to see, we're going to do this in a more play by ear kind of way. Alright? So, but the answer was none of the above.
In that case. Okay. So this is filling out the table, and this is just making the table with a not. If you make a table with a not A and C, maybe you can see it better there because it's a little neater. You can notice that these only true when both not A and C are true, and it's false in every other case. So it looks like if we actually work with it so that it's in the order that we're used to, in the order that we have, the truth tables with ands. I color the same, the rows that are the same, so you can see how I transpose it, and you can see that it looks exactly like an AND gate. This is exactly like an AND. Okay? And so, that was that. Now, this is the last if then else of this kind we're gonna do. We have three numbers now. We have three bits. And one output. And our output will be, if A is true, then B will equal B. And else D will equal C. Okay, now so let's do something like this. What are the two values that are in that table? What are the two values for D? If A is false, B is true, and C is false. And if A is true, B is true, and C is false. And the options are A, true, true, B, true, false, C, false, false, D, false, true.
stopping at 1:30?
Okay, stopping. All right, great. Was this in the slides that I posted online? No? Okay, great. So you guys got it. Okay, so this is the deal with the if then else, and that's how it works, how they work. So this is how you would make this table. Basically, if A is true, then D equals B. So if A is true, you just copy in D, you copy what is in the column of B. And if the you just copy it. If A is false, then you're just going to copy C. Exactly. And now you can do a few tricks, which we're going to skip. But anyway, at the end, you get to this expression, which is D is A and B, or not A and C. Okay, it's just a logical expression. And notice how we went from this is what I want this gate to do, to what is a truth table, to what are the gates that I would need to make this happen. So now we know, because we want to go from a problem to I can build this stuff, right? Using whatever you have, which is ors and ands and nots. And then that's how this will work. And this is just A and B are, and so A and B are anded together, and then they're going to an or with not A and C. And they're OR together, and the result is going to be D, which is this complicated expression. But the point is, we can make it. We can actually build this stuff because we have all these gates that we learn how to make. So this is kind of, you know, a more simple drawing. And so again, remember, until this point, we worked with bits. Everything was bits. Inputs were bits. But remember how this works. So if the expression is true, then we do expression 1, else we do expression 2. Now, what if we wanted to have this kind of gate? This is a more complicated gate. It doesn't just take bits in as input. It takes whole, like, 5-bit numbers. And there's a control bit, which I drew with red. So there's the blue input, there's the green input. And the way this works is, if the control bit is true, then this gate will select the blue input. And the output will be whatever the blue input is, which in this case is 01000, okay, 5 bits. If the control bit is false, can you guess what it does? It's going to do the green input, which in this case is 10011. And we're actually going to build this with ands and nots and ors. So we're just going to say generally, we're going to call the first input char1, random name, the second input char2, and then the output will be char3. And so we can write that our input is a control bit, char1, char2, which are both char1 and char2 are 5-bit numbers. The output is another 5-bit number. And the way this works is going to be, if control bit is true, then char3 will be equal to char1, blue input, else char3 will be equal to char2, green input. So this is a huge gate. We are going to use the last if then else that we made, the number 4. We get a control bit, which is going to be this bit, and we're going to get char1, which is 5 bits, and char2 is going in here, and it's 5 bits too. And inside, if we just get rid of the if then else's, if we just look at ands, nots, and ors, we're going to see this. And this is exactly the gate that I showed you before that looked kind of complicated. I'm just copying it here. So, and I'm going to show you how this works. So if control bit is true, I drew the electricity with purple just as we're used to. There's going to be electricity on this wire. and on all these wires that I drew. And so if char 1, let's assume that char 1 is 10001, 1s are electricity, zeros are no electricity, right? On, off, and so on. And so this bit will be 1 from this 1. This is going to be 0, 0, 0, and another 1. And that's our char 1. And char 2 is going to be 0, 1, 1. You can't really see that. This is 0, 1, 1, 0, 0. Okay, so what are these going to do? Well, you can see that this AND gate has two bits of input. They're both true, so the output is going to be true. So this is going to be 1. And this OR gate, whatever, if one of the inputs is on, its output is going to be on. So this output is going to be 1. Now let's look at this one. The control bit is true, but char 1 has the second bit 0. So this is going to be false. So the output of this AND is going to be false because one of its input is false. And it's going to go into this OR, so we have to look at the other bit, input of OR. The control bit is on. Going through a NOT gate is going to make it false. And this AND gate is going to take an input of 1 and 0, which is going to give us 0. This OR gate, the output is going to be 0. So see how it copied the first two bits of char 1 to the output? It's 1, 0, and we can follow the same thinking. We're going to see that it's just going to copy char 1's bits if the control bit is on. If the control bit is off, do I have a slide? I do. If the control bit is off, same kind of thing. You can draw electricity, and you can see that for char 2, it's 0, 1, 1. Let's do this one. This is on or true. The control bit is false. Going through a NOT gate is going to be true. This AND gets two inputs that are true, and it's going to output true. So this OR is going to be 1, and so on. So this gate, what it does, it's just selecting. We just have to set the control bit to 0 or 1. And what's going to do, it's going to output either char 1 or char 2. And that's what we wanted it to do. And that's how we can build it. How many AND gates do we need to make this gate if we wanted to build it? 10 AND gates. How many NOTs? 5. And how many ORs? 5. So if anybody wanted to make this gate and, we had a box of AND gates, a box of OR gates, and a box of NOT gates, we could actually build this, and wires, we could actually build this gate. So why are we using ANDs, NOTs, and ORs? Just a reminder. First of all, they're pretty natural. We use ANDs and ORs and NOTs in real life when we talk. Not this way, but pretty close to this way, as close as we get. And they're very simple. They're kind of familiar, and they also, you've seen a ton of functions that we try to do, a ton of things that we try to do, which have used just these gates. We can do any logical function, any Boolean function, can be reduced to ANDs, NOTs, and ORs, because we're always going to be able to say, okay, we have 100 inputs, and we have 20 outputs, and take each output, and I want this output to do, turn on the light when this is true, and this is true, and this is false, or whatever. We could have sensors. The inputs can be a temperature sensor, which would be maybe true if the temperature is above 50, and false if it's below 50. And, you can play with hardware and stuff like that. Anything we want to do, any logical function, can be made out of ANDs, NOTs, and ORs. So if we have two bits, how many logical functions can we make? So again, a logical function, no matter what you do, you want it to turn on the light or whatever under circumstances. If it has two inputs and one output, how many possibilities are there? How many functions can you make like this? So you can always draw, you can call this A, you can call this B, C, what's the table going to look like? Well, A, B, A,
for A and B, combinations. Four combinations, right? False, true, false, 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 true, true, false, and true, true. How many combinations of C can you have? So, okay, so you can all think, you have four spots here. And you can fill them with two values, true or false. So one of them is all false. One of them is changes to true. One of them is changes to true. Another one is changes to true. Then you can take two truths, move them around. How many is that? What's that?
4 to the 4th. 4 to the
3rd. Okay, so you have two values, two possible values. So it's 2 to the 4th. Yeah. So number of values to how many spots you have and how you can move them around. So that's, what is that number? How much is that? 16. We have 16 possibilities of functions. If you make this kind of, if you have this kind of setting, two inputs, one output, you can have 16 different functions. And we actually can enumerate them all, and we will. So these are some of them, the first eight. Let's see, what is this one? Hold on. What is this one? C is A or B. What about this one? The very popular and. Okay, what would you say about this one? How would you write C as a function of A and B?
A and not B.
A and not B. Okay, this is an and. And it's going to have a true in it, right? Let's do not B. Not B, I'm just taking B, and whatever B is false, I'm going to make it true. Whatever B is true, I'm going to make it false. So it's going to be true, false, true, false. And now I'm going to ignore this, and I'm going to AND them together. A. Not B. It's going to give me false, false, true, false. So it can't be that. But that's how you figure out what is A and not B. Which one is that?
I can't see it. Third one, top, yeah, okay, top row, third one. Okay, that's A and not B.
The first one is just C equals false. No matter what you do, how you change A and B, it's just going to be false. There's nothing you can do, and nothing makes it happy. Okay? So, that's how I can write it short. You know, it's confusing to say, what is C as a function of A and B? But there's really no way of, that's the only way you can actually write it. Okay? C equals false. Make sure that C is false no matter what. Okay? So those are eight of them. This is the other eight. This is actually the knotted on a previous page. And is there something that we know here? Not really. Can somebody guess this one? It's tricky, but maybe somebody can guess it. What does it look like? A little bit. Not something, yeah.
Not A or not B.
Not A. I'm gonna go with not A and not B. Not A and not B. You say. So, again, false. Now, it's not the A. B is going to give me true, false, true, false. Okay, so not A and not B. Now I'm focusing on these two and I'm adding them, ending them together. True and true is true. True and false. False and true. False and false. Yeah, that's a good one. There's another way we can write that. Any guesses? Yeah.
Negation of A and B.
Negation of A and B. Not A and B. Okay, so let's write it here. What is A and B? Well, it's false, 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 true, right? Because that's how N works. Now let's negate A and B. Not A and B. It's going to give us true, 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 false. It's a little different. It's kind of like
not
and then A or B. Yes. Lots of yes to that. Now, not A or B and not A and not B. You can write them the same. You can write the same thing differently, right? Does this ring any bells? That is equal to this? Same thing? What is that called? Some kind of law, right? The Morgan's law. Right? We said that if you not A or B, the not gets distributed and the or turns into an and. And it's the same with not A and B. It will be not A or not B. Okay, good. So that's that first one, upper left corner. Okay.
Why would this one be? I heard the answer. C equals true, right. And there's all kinds of stuff. Let's try another one. If I see it here. I don't see it here. What is this one? How do you write this one as a function, C as a function of A and B? Yeah. C equals A, right? Yes. So you notice that C is exactly the same as A. It's almost like it's copied. Okay, good. All right. Okay, last one. This one. Yeah.
C equals not B.
Very good. All right, because yeah, whenever B is false, C is true, and whenever B is true, C is false. Okay, good. So now we're going to learn how to go from a truth table to a formula. And it's really, there's just a few steps, it's pretty straightforward. You get a table, and you stare at it for a little bit, and you decide that, in this case, we're going to write D as a function of A, B, and C. Okay. It's always the last column as a function of the first columns. First, you know, columns minus the last column. So in this case, we're going to have three inputs and one output. We're going to write D as a function of A, B, and C. And you look at D, and if it's mostly false, this is what you're going to do. Each time you see a true, remember that row. And for that row, you're going to make a statement. You're going to make an and statement, which will involve A, B, and C. And so let's take this one. You see a true here.
There's two truths in there. So we're going to have two and statements. For the first one, A is false, B is false, and C is true. If A is false, I'm going to write not A. And the B is false too, so I'm going to write not B. And involving A, B, and C, all they all need to be in there. If the variable is, you know, A or B or C are false, then you write not that variable. If the variable is true, you're going to write just the variable. Okay. And then we write, this was our first statement for the first true. We have another true, the fourth row. What is that statement going to be? Once you try it. Or you don't try it. Yeah.
The third row, right?
The fourth row, right? With the true.
Not A, B, and C.
Not A. And B and C. Good. Okay. So now I have two statements. I put parentheses around them. And I put an or between them. Okay? So if I were to write it neatly, D as a function of A, B, and C, I would write D equals not A and not B and C or not A and B and C. And that truth table is equivalent to this expression, to this formula. They're the same thing. If I were to go from that, from this to a table, that's where I would get. And you've seen me go from expressions to truth tables. You can do that to check it if you want.
Okay, does this, any questions about it? Okay, make sure you write,
I've seen all kinds of stuff. Like, make sure it equals, you know, and, or, the other and. Write it this way, because there's always, you know, people leave it like, they say stuff like D equals, that doesn't make any sense, because D cannot be two things at the same time. This is the right way, right? I'm just going to say that.
Okay, so this was the case when the table D is mostly mostly false. What happens if D is mostly true? You can follow the same if you want to make a statement for each true, or them together. That's fine. I'm not going to, that's not a big deal. There is a shorter way to do it, though. And what it is, it's you look at the falses this time. For each false, you make a clause, an end clause, just like before.
So I'm going to do that right now. Someone want to dictate? Not dictate. Tell me what it is. So, let's see. For the first false, that's the third row. What is the clause? Somebody want to offer? Can you do it? Volunteer? No? It's too hard? Yeah, fix.
Not A.
Okay.
B. Not C.
Mm-hmm. Good. Right. Work with the next one. The last one. What's the last one? Yeah. And B and C, good. And what you do after that, this is actually not D. Because we focus on the falses. Now we need to put, if not D is equal to, let's say E. How can we get D from here?
By not
E, right? Not something is the same thing. So D will be not E. Okay? So then D will be not this whole thing. Okay, not A. I'm going to call this something X, and I'm going to call this Y. And B is going to be not X or Y. Okay? So you do exactly the same thing. Focus on the falses. You focus on the falses. You do the same thing, but you have to put a not in front of it. And then there's all kinds of stuff that you can do to make it look prettier. Like, apply to the Morgan's Law. So in this case, it will be not X and not Y. And you can see that not X will be not this whole thing. So let's finish it up. This is going to be And that is your B in that case. I notice that this is a little more, you don't have to go through this whole thing. This is fine. Not this whole disaster is fine. Yeah.
When you put a not in front of the ends, they turn to worse.
Yes, here?
Yeah, that one.
Yes, thank you. And then this is gonna be an and. No.
Fine.
Is it?
I mean like inside the parentheses.
Oh, I see.
See how there were ends there and then over there it turns to worse.
Right, because of the more. Oh. So are you talking about this one?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's fine. Hold on. I'm gonna leave this one in. You're okay with that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The problem is here. Okay. So not a whole bunch of anded stuff becomes a whole bunch of word stuff, including not this one.
Oh.
Is that cool with them? Okay. And then this is is it? Okay. So this is it. Probably. Alright. So those are the rules for mostly true. Okay? And you shouldn't get anything bigger than this. It's probably just two or three variables as input and one variable as output. So this is what we've done. We have taken this idea of a Boolean function, which is just a whole bunch of trues and falses. And it together, not it together, or together. And we have shown three ways of representing it, which is a Boolean expression, a formula, like not A and B and C, or A and B and C, something like that. That's a formula, that's a Boolean expression. We have shown that you can represent it as a truth table. Whenever you have a Boolean formula, it's going to have a truth table. For example, this thing was a truth table for not A and not B. It's just the expression was not A and not B. The truth table is this. That's a different way of representing it. It's going to be the same thing. It means the same thing. And it can also be a gate, right? We have gone from the if-then-else number 4 or number 3. We said what we wanted it to do. We made a truth table out of that, and then we figured out how to make it out of gates, out of ands, nots, and ors. And we also said that no matter how complicated a function is, we can always reduce it to ands, nots, and ors, and we can build it out of those things. So you can go between any of these two things. So you can go from, we've gone from a truth table to a formula. That's the last thing that we did. We went from a Boolean expression to a gate. We went from a truth table to a gate. So we did all those things just to show you that they're just equivalent. And you can just go, they're just different representations of the same thing. So right now we can basically do any kind of function, any kind of Boolean function that you can think of, we can do it. And stuff in the computer is represented that way. Your processor is a whole bunch of and nots and ors together. There's there used to be a piece in the processor, a coprocessor, which would be dedicated to mathematical operations. And all I was doing was stuff that is wired in hardware is so much faster. And so if you wanted to have, this is also, if you play a game, you have a graphic card. The graphic card comes with a special processor that is dedicated to the mathematical operations that the graphical kinds of operations. And so, they figured out that, hey, if you want to, some kind of graphical operation that happens a lot. Nighttime comes, you need to have the intensity of all the pixels in the picture, you need to have it, darkened or whatever, or turned it into black and white. Right? If you do that a lot, you can figure out how can you make a gate? How can you make a hardware piece that encodes just that? And then you have this gate that takes tons of input, tons of outputs, but it takes an image, and on the other side comes the image, the nighttime version of the image. You know, and so we can basically do anything, and especially because everything is digital. You know, everything is encoded in bits. You have all this digital information. You can just, you know, figure out what the function is that you want and, you know, make a gate. And so that was the purpose of the whole if then else. We wanted to see, you know, a problem and how we can make a gate that solves that problem. So I think we're probably going to start with this example next time. What time is it? All right. But remember to come to ARC 118 next time. Don't come here. Okay? Thanks. Hi. You can bring your laptop. That would be great. Yeah, actually. That's a really good idea. I'm gonna set up the class. Really. Hi.
Can you tell me where ARC is?
Yes. Okay. It's the next bus stop. So if you walk, where are you coming from? What do you usually, where is it where your bus is?
Is where I have to park.
Okay, do you take the B bus?
Yeah.
Just go another stop.
Oh, just
so this stop's at Hill Center?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just the next stop.
Just one more?
And it's just like down the road, and then you make a right, and that's where it is. It's like the next bus stop. Yeah.
Yeah,
all right.
Here you go.
Hi.
Yeah, I got a 0 on the homework, but you said you should go to office hours.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the homework that, like, the rules of the course, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't like anything.
It was pretty much just a test
to see if you can
upload your files and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but did you upload something? You uploaded your answers.
Yeah, I did.
All right. Either go to his office hours, or you can email me and I'll forward it to him.
Okay.
And if you make a PDF and just email me the PDF, I will forward to him,
okay.
And he'll change your
mind. You want me to, like, send a direct email?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, of the homework?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
That'd be great.
Thanks.
If you could do that. Yeah. Hi. Oh.
I'm so hot. I emailed you actually last week about, like, my Google resume is Farah.
Okay.
And I asked you about office hours.
Yeah,
I can't
yeah.
make it on Wednesdays because, and I actually did want to come to your office hours.
Yeah, yeah. Mine are actually Tuesdays.
Oh, Tuesday. No, I'm sorry.
I can't make Tuesdays. Okay.
I'm taking 21 credits this semester, so I'm, like, overloaded. But
I'm pretty flexible.
Okay. So if I email you, like, you do by appointment too.
Definitely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because there's, like, some things that I just wanted to just go over.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
No problem.
Thank
sure.
you.
Yeah. Hi.
I'm having a little trouble trying to find out where to get the degree.
I'll show you. Would that help?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Sakai. Let's see. Maybe I should unplug this. Well, I mean, I can show it then too. Whatever. Okay.
I'm going to check the grades also.
Okay. Yeah, I forgot to mention I'm going to post a clip of the grades. Why isn't that working? This guy's so strange. So, I'm going to enter student view so we see the way you see, if it wants to go in there. Alright, so I can do this, and then I'm going to see, this is how you should be able to see. Alright, so where are you having trouble finding?
I missed the lecture, so you got my answer.
I see.
Okay.
So here, under tests and quizzes, you should be able to see the date. Just figure out the date of the quiz.
The third.
And this is like, this is the second lecture, and this is the third lecture. Sorry. I need a calendar. I mean, they're on the website too.
Are we supposed to take those?
No, only if you. Oh, please don't take them. Only if you miss the lecture.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Otherwise, it's gonna be a mess. Like, yeah.
I was nervous.
Well, then we're gonna have to.
I thought I was like missing.
No. Dates. So this is, on the website you can see the dates. So the lecture, third lecture was the 13th.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And then click that.
Just click that and you should be able to take it. I don't even know if it lets me do it. It does let me do it. It's so slow.
That's okay. Yeah, I'll show me that. But,
I mean, if you get stuck, let me know. Okay, this is it. And then begin assessment, and you're going to see question one.
Okay.
You have to, like, it doesn't help. Okay.
I have my answers. I wrote it down.
Okay.
Then the only other thing is, you said the grades are on Sakai.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Under assignments, you should be able to see homework one. You should be able to see it here. Grade.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. I mean, email me and I'll walk you through. I'll send you like screenshots and stuff like that.
And how can you see the grade of the quiz?
The grade should... Oh, the quiz?
Yeah.
Are you talking about the quizzes? You should be able to see it. Just the quizzes. After you take it, I think, it shows you what how many points you got. Did you take the quiz?
Yes, for... I did.
You did. Okay. So you should be able to see it. Okay.
So did you read?
Let's check that.
Okay. Should I turn it off?
Don't do anything right now. Maybe you should click. That'll be good. That'll be helpful, right? If you click, then it would show up. Well, let me look at this. Today is the 20th, right? What is your remote ID? Let me see that. So this is the file that we get, and then if I enter your, yeah, you put a tape on it, that's good. I'm going to look for your clicker ID. 1836B8C6. So see, it found it. So you're definitely, it definitely knows you. Your clicker ID is in there, and it shows me what you clicked. You clicked B, and whatever. Question 2, you clicked B. You know, like it definitely has your. And I will definitely post the grades. I haven't posted the grades yet. That's probably why you're confused.
Oh, I saw. I saw you post after the class,
no.
So I didn't see it.
Not yet, no, because we need to figure it out. But
okay,
we will post the grades. No, yeah, I usually let people know on emails and stuff. So.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Hi.
Would I have gotten a zero if I hadn't attached a document and had included all my answers?
Probably, yeah.
So if I just, how would I go about correcting it?
You can email me your file, and I'll forward it to the TA.
It's pretty much just going to be copying and pasting into a file.
Yes, but it needs to be in a file. That's the point.
Sure. Okay. And you keep talking about computer science as the discipline of reduction. Well, I understand that, especially when it comes to things like the Fourier transform. Everything what we've been doing is a reduction, so much as substitution.
It's true. Substitution, sure. The problem is it's going bottom up, not top down. You know, like usually reduction is going from, oh yeah, I want to make a gate that makes whatever, and this is how I'm gonna, you know. But we're building up because it's very hard to see. Okay, what are the simple problems that we want to get to?
Okay, I see. Yes.
So we're kind of building up instead of reducing.
So the reduction will become a lot more apparent. Establish the foundation, take a bigger problem, and then break it down.
Yes. Exactly. And also with the if-then-else stuff, like it's complicated, but we know how to break it into ands and odds and ors.
Right.
And then we know how to make ands and odds and ors. Right. Yep. So that was kind of the point.
Is Scratch on all the computers?
We will download it there.
Because, I mean, I've got it on the thumb drive.
Yeah, if you want to do that, that's okay. Fine. Well, if you want to bring your laptop, that's fine. I'm going to email the class.
Yeah, it'll just save you the trouble.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was having an issue with Scratch. I was trying to make a ball behave according to gravity.
Mm-hmm.
And I got it working in one dimension. And when I tried to start adding the other dimensions, that it would bounce off the side walls.
Yeah.
It went haywire. So then I tried to backtrack and bring it back to what I knew. And it just stopped working entirely. So is there not any debugging sorts of stuff in there?
Not
or is it
specific.
Impossible to have bugs?
It's impossible to have bugs. That's the whole point of the blocks.
Right.
But that's kind of weird. I mean, sometimes it acts up.
Yeah.
I mean, do you know about the if on edge bounce?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was trying that, but what was it doing? I had it set up rather as a if, maybe this is a bad idea, if it hit the bottom edge to have its velocity equal the absolute, the negative absolute value of the other velocity or something, or the absolute value, because then it would be going back down. But then it, when it hit the side walls, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm trying to fall now, and I'm stuck against the wall, and it just started going haywire. And then when I tried to slow it back down to where it was bouncing like it should have been, it just dropped a lot and sat up.
I mean, make sure your laws are right, you know?
My laws?
Yeah, the laws that you use to move it, like the way you change X and Y. Like that's the person.
In the scripts or with the.
Yeah, like in on paper. Well, so right, you write something like wherever the x is, if x is between, you know, 0 or minus whatever and plus whatever, change the velocity. Change like x mu is whatever.
Yeah.
According to the velocity, right?
Right.
So it's it's complicated if you like bounce against.
Right.
I was never good at geometry, so. But that's weird that you weren't able to get it to the.
I'll fool around with it and try to see.
You can email me.
We'll be here Wednesday.
Yeah.
So I'll fool around with it, see what I can get, and if I manage to replicate the issue, I'll come and show you how hilarious it looks.
Great.
Point out why it's sketchy.
Okay.
Thanks.
Sounds good.